All right, and we're going to preach. We're going to. I wish the weather hadn't been so inclement. By the way, you can put your winter coats away. Dr. Phil has spoken. Yeah. Forget what's outside. Dr. Phil has made his prognosis. And I can only remember, I don't know that I remember a time when he didn't predict 6 more weeks of winter. But anyway, we're going to finish up the message that we started last week of, I hope that you know after almost 17 years, May 1st will be 17 years that I've been the lead pastor, teacher of the church. And my heart, honestly, my heart beats for the future. My heart beats for the future. Because the future is now. You know that. The future is right now, and it's the children that we're raising up. And it's so important that the family understand its role, the church understands its role, and that together we link up to teach our children to love the Lord, with all their hearts, with all their souls, with all their minds, and with all their strength. And I believe that's God's design, and we're going to finish that message. Let's pray together before we start. Lord, we know we are absolutely nothing without You and without Your Spirit working here this morning. And we ask in the name of Jesus that You would work. I pray, Lord, that You might be speaking to some heart that needs You, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior, and a new life that needs forgiveness, that's never understood how much You love them. And I pray that You would be speaking to that heart to bring them to understand and believe in You as their Savior and their Lord. And I pray for parents that You'll encourage them this morning. And I pray for that together You would give us understanding of the importance of a family church body in raising up the next generation now. And please, Lord, teach us in Your name. Amen. Now, we said last week that metaphorically, in the book of Revelation, Jesus said that the church is compared to a lampstand. The church is compared to a lampstand, and there were 7 lampstands, all right? And that the lampstand in the Old Testament, in the temple or in the tabernacle, stood next to the table of showbread. The table were 12 loaves, but were a picture that Jesus Christ said that He was the bread of life. And so I said last week that it is the church's role to shine their light, and I really should say His light, really, to let His light shine through us and tell the world about Jesus. Because it's Jesus that loves you. Can I hear an amen? It's Jesus Christ that loves you. And He loves you far more than anyone else in the whole universe. It's Jesus Christ who loves your children more than you love your children. It's Jesus Christ who loved us so much that He laid down His life willingly on the cross and died for our sins. And we must shine the light on Jesus so that the world can know that He loves them. And God loves them. And we'll get to that. God's intention for the church is we're strategically placed in a dark world that needs hope. And we need to reveal Jesus to the world. to show the world who God is. And that's the purpose of the church, to show the world who God is. Not to be the biggest church, not to be the most fundamental church, not to be a Methodist church, not to be a Baptist church, not to be a whatever kind of church. The church is here to glorify the Father, Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And to show the world who God is. That's our purpose. We need to be intentional about keeping the lampstand shining on the right person and having a loving relationship with them. God is far more concerned. Listen to me, please. God is far more concerned with the heartbeat of this church that we love Jesus. If we don't love Jesus, remember what He said to the church at Ephesus? He said they were a great working church. I don't know, they didn't have Awana back then, but they were busy, right? They were a great working church. And they were serving. And they were doctrinally correct. Amen? Do you hear me? They were doctrinally correct. But Jesus said, I have something against you. You have left your first love. You see, if a church doesn't love Jesus with their first love, first, then Jesus said, repent and go and do your first works, or else I will come and remove your candlestick, except you repent. You see, churches are expendable. But the role of the church is to love Jesus Christ preeminently. And if the church is you, that means you have to love Jesus Christ preeminently. And if we don't individually love Jesus Christ preeminently, then we will never corporately love Jesus Christ preeminently. Do you understand? It all comes down to individuals that make up a whole. And so it's so important that you have a relationship with the Lord in your individual personal life. Now, the church, that is God's family, is called to love God and to demonstrate His love to the world. Amen? We are called to love the Lord and to let Him live through us to demonstrate it. In Matthew 22, turn with me there to these verses. Matthew chapter 22. Very familiar verses, I know. But in Matthew chapter 22, a man asked Jesus, of the Ten Commandments, which is the greatest? In Matthew 22, Verse 36, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Do we love, honestly, and this is always a searching question, is there something more we could always do to show love to our neighbor? To let our light shine, that Jesus might be glorified, the Father might be glorified. You see, it's just so important. And in John 13, 34 and 35, where Jesus says, I give to you. Now who's He talking to? He's talking to His disciples. His followers. I give to you a new commandment. That you love one another as I have loved you. That you love one another. By this shall all men know what? That you're My disciples. If you have love for one another. The church is to be a place of actions of love. And I struggle to know or understand why when somebody hurts or offends us, why we can't love them and forgive them. I don't understand that. Or why we can't go and explain the offense and seek to be reconciled. And my point is that love is important for the church. And of course, the family. Let's go to the family now. We're going to connect them. Not every parent can give their child money. Not every child can give not every parent can leave an inheritance for their child. But every one of you can leave a legacy for your child that you love the Lord. You know, I'm telling you the truth, and this is, I think the kids get it when we love the Lord. I think they get that message. That the Lord is our God. And we'll get more into this, but we can leave them that. And we should. The problem is, told you about this last week, that there are not many good examples of parents in the in the Bible. Did you know that? Probably for every example of a good parent. Can anybody tell me the example other than Abraham of a good father in the Bible that stands out? And even Abraham wasn't perfect. I mean, Abraham was going to give his wife to another man to save his own neck. But God said of Abraham, I know that he'll order his family in to follow my ways. But tell me another man in the Bible that was a good father. Who? God himself, okay. Well, my only point is there's not many examples, is there? Joseph. And we don't know much about his children, but he followed the Lord. And by the way, so did David. And so did Noah. Job. And lost his children. But the point is, that was a dumb thing to do, but I'm trying to say that here's David. David was a man after God's own heart, wasn't he? And yet, he was as stupid could be. Because he was human. And parents were human. And kids, give your parents a break. They're humans. My dad was human. I mentioned how my mom and dad fought like cats and dogs, and I don't know how they grew up. I don't know their parents' environment that they grew up in. All I know is the environment that I grew up in was not a healthy environment, and my dad was never home. My dad was not home. My dad owned a business, and he was able to. He didn't work much, and that enabled him to drink. And he had the money to drink, and he had the time to drink. And my dad was out drinking almost every night. I would weep. I would weep because I didn't know my dad, and he was always gone. And I can remember going out in the morning and my dad couldn't make it in the house, and I had to pick him up and help him in the house. And I'm not saying this, but I don't know how my dad grew up. His parents were dead by the time I was born. But my point is that when you don't grow up in a healthy relationship, and a healthy relationship with your father or a healthy relationship with your mother, it can affect how you are as a human being. Now, but that's no excuse. Because when we're born again, we receive God's Spirit, and it is a changing process. And God can change our lives, and that's what I want to get to, that there's a degree, though, of dysfunction in every family. And you take your parents may have been good parents, but you might have had a stubborn mother to her husband. I don't know. Or you might have had a dad that lost his temper. Or you might have had a dad that never was home. I don't know your circumstances. But you might have had a perfect family. But I doubt that it was perfect in reality. But there's a degree of dysfunction in every story. And it started with the first mom and dad. We shared that last week. Adam blamed Eve for his disobedience. Eve blamed the serpent. And then the one son of theirs killed the other son. Now that's as imperfect of an environment that it was. And yet the son turned around. What happened? Sin. And we're all sinners. We all have a sin nature that gives us wrong behavior. And we're humans. And I want to get through this quickly. Whoop, I don't know. But the scriptures are filled with misfit parents and examples for a reason. Number one, to realize that people we look up to are not perfect. I mentioned last week my failure. And I wanted my children to turn out to follow Jesus Christ. All right? And I grew up in a home where dad yelled, but he never corrected. So, as I said last week, I swung to the other side of the pendulum. And my daughter and daughters knew that I loved them and knew I was spanking them to teach them to listen. But it wasn't the spanking that was wrong. It was the anger behind the spanking that was dysfunctional. Do you understand? It was the anger behind the spanking. And I mentioned how that my daughter, I said she ran away. Actually, she got on a school bus coming home. She got off at her friend's house. That was her runaway. And that's the truth. She didn't run away. I mean, she didn't even pack a bag. She just didn't come home. And so as soon as... And one of the kids came home and said that Charity's not coming home. She'll kill me, right? Diane's sitting there. Oh, boy. So I right away ran to the house where she was. And I said, let's go. And we talked. And that's where we had a life-changing experience that brought us together. And I forgave her of her stubbornness. She was stubborn. You know, she was bullheaded. You ever have a bullheaded kid? Janie, do you ever have any bullheaded kids? Three of them. My only point is, and you have to understand, I was brought up that I could talk back to my parents and nothing happened. Do you understand? I could talk back to my parents and I wasn't corrected. So when my daughters talk back to their parents, they were corrected. All right? And it wasn't, as I said, it wasn't the correction, it was the anger. Now, what we're saying obviously is realization, there's not a perfect parent in here, guys. There's not a perfect parent in life. But God can change your life. And He wants to change your life. And we need to realize that He has the power to change your life as a father and a mother or a husband and a wife. And heal you and bring healing. And that Philippians 1 is in verse 6, where He who began a work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. But God filled the pages with misfit parents. Though I may never ever be, hear me, though I never will be an A-plus parent, I still can impress upon my kids that I love Jesus Christ. I love the Lord. And I love Him. And everything I do, even in trying to correct misbehavior, is because I love the Lord and I want them to love the Lord. As I said, it wasn't the correction that was wrong. It was the anger behind the correction that was wrong that had to be corrected. And so, but we need to impress upon our children the love and the character of God's great person. And though I will never be an A-plus parent, God, the Lord, is our family's God. He is our family's God. As Joshua said in Joshua 24, verse 1, the most important value, Nathan preached this, the most important value you can give your children is that you love the Lord. And that you love the Lord so much that you're going to teach your children the word of the Lord. Because knowing the Lord is the most important thing in their life. It's just the most important value. And that the most important value in life is loving and serving Jesus Christ. If you can impress upon your children that you love, and because you love Him, you serve the Lord. As Joshua said in 24:15, as for me, he says, I can't speak for the rest of you. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And that was a deep down conviction. And he and his family served the Lord. And that's an important value to teach to your children. That you love and serve Jesus. Now as a church leader and father, I believe that most Christian parents desire to be the best parent you can be. I desired with all my heart to be the best parent I could be. You may judge me wrongly or whatever way you want to judge me. But I guarantee you there was one thing I wanted to be. It was a good parent. And there was one thing I wanted to accomplish. And that is my children grew up to follow Christ. I didn't care... I can't say I didn't care if they got all A's or all A's and B's. Okay? I can't say I didn't care, but you know what? It was more important to me that they had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I believe that every Christian parent wants to raise their child for the Lord. And that you can make significant change. And even though right now you may say, I feel like a failure, I want you to know that you can change, you can grow, and you can get better. Amen? Is there anybody here that doesn't want to get better? We should want to be a better parent. We should want to be with our children. Dads, be with your sons, be with your daughters, hold their hands, take them to dinner. I mean, be with them. Quit being out, messing around, doing nothing, and be with your kids. Put yourself aside in what you want to do for yourself and be with your kids. And that's just so important. But desire to be an improving parent, I believe that. And then I believe that with God's promise that you can change. That's what I'm trying to say. And there can be healing. And then to the person, and there may be some guys here from Pyramid, or there may be somebody else here. You've never come to faith in Jesus. And your life has seemed dysfunctional. And by the way, my life was just as dysfunctional as yours. And you know that. If you've been here for long, you know my testimony. I should have worn my marijuana shirt today, huh? But my life was so dysfunctional when the Lord found me. I mean, I was in a bar every day, and I was just stop right there. But I was just blind and a pagan. And I was born again, April 24th, 1974. And my life changed. And I left the bars, and I left drugs, and I got involved in a church just like this one. Although it was a storefront church. They were just starting. And my life changed. But the point is, you need to experience a new birth through Jesus and grow up in His divine likeness. And in Philippians 1:6, let me just quickly read that verse, because that is such a beautiful verse. Turn with me to Philippians 1:6. Because you might say, well, you're saying everything changed, and I'm saying that everything changed, but the inner man takes a longer time to change. But in Philippians chapter 1, I love this verse because it shows God's commitment to us. Paul writes, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I believe that it's a progressive change that takes place. Yes, some things fall off right away. And for others, some things don't fall off right away. But if you truly come to Jesus Christ in faith, believing in Him, that He's alive and He can save you, and you ask Him to come in and live inside you, in your heart, and change your life, He will. And it takes a lifetime. You know, I didn't get to where I am through all the mistakes and all the stupid things that I've done. I didn't get to where I am in my life in a week or a month or a year or 5 years or 10 years. It's a lifetime process. And God wants to change your life in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And He changes it from glory to glory, greater and greater into the image of Jesus. And it's a process. Now, if the church exists to be the light that's focused on revealing the love of God to a dark and sinful world, so that people might see God in our lives and trust His great love and grace to save them, and if the family is designed by God to impress upon their children through their example and teaching the love and character of God's worthy person, and that we love and serve Him. This principle of God using the church in its role and God using the home in its role will bring a legacy that is connected to a contagious quality. I'm telling you, love is a contagious quality. And when kids see that you do love Jesus, in spite of all your human frailties, you love the Lord. And they can see that. And when your kids come into a church environment that loves the Lord, that we share with one another, that we hold one another, we hug one another, that we serve together, and it's an environment of love. And I think that God's, by God's grace, that we have that to a certain degree, but we can always increase more and more. Amen? We can always increase more and more in love. But when a church has that and a family has that, I believe it's contagious. And I think kids will see that, and that they'll want that. That it's a beautiful thing. There's nothing more beautiful than love. And there's nothing more beautiful, nothing more beautiful than the love of God. Nothing. And it's attractive. And I'm saying that if you're a loving father or mother that loves the Lord, that corrects your children when they are out of line. Yes. Not in anger, but in love. I mean, let me say this, and I know some of you disagree with it, but it's still true. In Bible saying, it's still true. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. And that's true. But it also says the rod of anger will fail. Did you hear that? It says both. It will not accomplish the purpose that you want it to accomplish. And it sometimes can breed just anger back at you. All right? But I believe in working together that we need to train up a generation. And I have more here, but the great truth of God's love in Jesus, so amazing. And I wanted to get into this principle of trust. This principle of trust is so important to love. And the raising of children up. The principle of your child trusting you that you love them and are there for them. It's the same principle that God demonstrated when He went to the point of giving His only Son to die for us, that we could say, He genuinely loves me. And I can trust Him as my Father because He genuinely loves me. That's what I experienced. And if I can trust Him, then I can obey Him. If I can trust Him, I can obey Him. And the same is true in human parenting. That we need to build such a relationship of love with our children that they can trust us. That we are there for them. Even when they fail, we're there for them. We don't throw them away. We don't kick them out. We're there for them. And there may be a time that there has to come hard, what's that called? Tough love. But God doesn't stop a relationship or His commitment of love to us in Jesus Christ because we drift off. He's still there for us. And we can trust Him to be there for us. Is that not true? If we turn back, He's there. And we can trust Him. And this element of trust, there's so much I have in my heart. But this element of trust in parenting and that your kids trust you, that you love them and are committed to them. That's just so important. And I hope that you kids too will learn to behave in such a way that your parents will trust you and trust you with responsibility as well. It's a love relationship, whether it's God's commitment to us or our commitment to our children. But the church and the family working together to train up children in an environment where we love the Lord. And they see that. And if it breaks down, and it does, I'm not saying everything's perfect in this church. Okay? It's not. Somewhere we'll fail you. But you can either forgive us or you can hold a grudge and you can criticize us. And when a child grows up in a home that criticizes their pastor or their church or this or that, kids pick up. And that's a mistake. You've got to be so careful of that. There's so much, isn't there? It's not easy being a parent, is it? But it's the greatest privilege and joy in life, I believe. The greatest joys that my wife and I enjoy is our relationship with our kids. And let's close in prayer. Father, help this church to be a place that we can bring our children in to reinforce the values that we have taught them in home, to love the Lord and to serve the Lord. May they find a haven of sheer joy. May it not be a drudgery to come to worship and serve for the children. I pray that their parents would love to come, and that they would love to come, to be encouraged, and to be cared for, and to be taught the Word of God, and be reinforcing one another, that we might together shine a great light to our neighbors, to our friends, that You, Jesus Christ, are the answer to their soul's need. And that there is no other God but You, the Lord. Oh Lord, thank You. Use this time for Your name and Your glory, and help us to grow in really purposefully raising our kids up in the Word of God, in the teachings of Yours, Jesus, in the sharing of the gospel with their friends. And may we, Lord, encourage our kids in You. In Christ, Your name.